Ephesians chapter 4. If you're there, say amen. All right, I'm going to read verse 7 and jump up to 11, all right? Bible says, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Grace has been given as Christ divvied it up. Jumping down to verse 11. It was he, Jesus, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ might be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. It's a good little shot there, isn't that, Larry? Amen. Word of God. Then we will no longer be infants. You guys see them little kids running around? Say, hey, could you come up and talk? No, I can't talk, but I can write a letter. Yes. We will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Lord, we come before you this morning, Lord. These are challenging words. These are bold words for us this morning, Lord. And we would rally to hear from you this morning, Lord. Lord, that you would be right here in this room with us, Lord, where two or three are gathered. You say, you are right here, Lord, and I pray, Lord, that you would bind every distraction. Lord, I pray that you would speak clearly, Lord, to those who, need a message today, Lord. Lord, you have created us with something special in mind. And I'm praying today, Lord, that you speak to our hearts. I ask that in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
I got a little paint on my finger here. Joe and I did some painting this weekend. Well, actually, Friday and Saturday. Lisa went up to L.A. and went to her niece's bridal shower. Oh, big to-do. Leanne is not with us this week. She has stayed over to hang with the cousins and the aunties and to participate in the wedding. So Joe and I, we did work instead. And we were painting some doors and some stuff. And I was showing Joe, you know, he was all interested. It is amazing what a $20 bill will do to a 13-year-old. With the promise of going to the swap meet with Mr. Aaron after church today. So, man, he is geared up. I said, if you do good, 10 spot. He goes, what if I do really good, Dad? Well, maybe we're talking 20 there. And he did get the 20. But so we're pulling some doors off, and I'm showing him how to pull the door off and pop out the hinges. And he says, okay, can I do it? I said, yeah, there you go. And he's tap, tap, tap. Showing him how to take the doorknob off. And he's like, hey, can I do it? Can I do it? And we start painting, mixing the paint. And he goes, okay, Dad, I see. Can I do it? Can I do it? Yeah. And we start rolling it out. Can I do it? It's like, yeah, okay, you got too much paint on here, and you do this, and you do that, and this is how you get it. And he goes, okay, can I do it? Can I do it? And he's wanting to do it. And why? Because we are wired to do things. We are wired to accomplish things. Even that little girl right there, she said, let me do it, right? She grabbed stuff out of your hand. She wants to do stuff, right? I want to say Leilani, right? Yeah. She said, let me do it. I mean, we are wired to do things. God has wired us for action. God has wired you for action. Now, we're on a series, and we're kind of wrapping up this series on the church, a place for you. And last week, I talked about the worthy life. I left that verse up there for you. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling of Christ, worthy of what God has in store for you. And I put this picture up there. And this is a picture, if you can't make it out, of Jesus' hand, a representation of Jesus' hand, with a spike through it. And Paul says, I want you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. And some of us go, I got nothing. I got nothing that I can put over here to equalize what Jesus has done for me. And maybe last week you felt a little bit loaded down. Well, the idea of this text is not to load you down. But the Lord made a sacrifice on the cross 2,000 years ago, a free gift of salvation to you. You can't do anything to earn that. Can I get a witness on that? But he is expecting a response. He is expecting a life lived in response to the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Paul says, I want you to live a life worthy of your calling. Who's living a worthy life? Who can balance out? No one. No one can. I can't. But I try to live out here in a manner that is worthy of his sacrifice. How do you do that? You be obedient. You be responsive. And it's exciting to see many of you are doing that. Many of you are living your lives in the shadow of the cross. People have changed lives, transformed lives. Cheap people that are making differences. You saw some of those that are up there on those pictures being acclaimed by their students, responding to the Lord, having an impact. See, the message of the cross is not just a free ride. The Lord says, I am expecting things from you. You're going, wow. Sorry. That's a huge responsibility. Yeah. But you're in the right place. Because God has placed you in this church, City Heights Assembly of God, that you would be grown up, that you would be matured, that you would be taught, that you would be equipped, that you would have a place to learn so that you can live in response to the cross. We have some major tenets around here. One is, we rely upon God. Do you rely upon God? See, it is my job to introduce you to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and then explain to you how you can come to know him, how you can come to trust him, and after you trust him, to rely upon him. Does that sound something like that is worthwhile? Do you trust the Lord? Do you rely upon the Lord? Lord, if you don't come through on this, Lord, it's not coming through. Lord, we need you to come through on this. That is one of our major tenets. We rely upon God. Number two, we develop people. We want you to be equipped. We want you to be transformed in your life. You step into this place, we expect things from you. Why? Well, that's what we're going to be talking about today. And it is so awesome to see God doing a transforming work in your lives. Sometimes it just happens. Bam! I can feel my hand. 3 years it's been numb. Sometimes the work of the Lord in a different way. I asked Sandra to come up here and talk. Oh, I got to give you the mic so we can have this on the tape. And you told me a story the other day. You ran into somebody here at the church.
Somebody visited the church. There was a person that visited the church last week for the first time. So Pastor Bob asked me later after Wednesday night service, so how did the person do in your class? You know, and I said, well, you know, Pastor, I know her. He says, you do? How do you know her? And I said, I've known her for about 6-7 years. I've known her from Logan when I lived in Barrio Logan Heights. And I said, I was her connect. I would connect for her. I was her middleman person. I would get really good deals, and I had people that would come to me, and that's how I knew her.
Now, so, for those of you who are fuzzy on this, she is talking about Los Drogas.
Yeah.
We're talking about bad stuff. Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
So then she was.
So no, we don't need any more examples.
So then she was here last, week, as I said, and after our class, after Wednesday service, she said to me, she said, Sandra, she goes, I didn't know you sing. I said, no, I don't sing. And she says, no, but you're up there, you're actually on the stage and you dance. And I'm like, no, I don't dance. I said, when I'm up there, I said, I'm doing what I do. I said, I sing unto the Lord, I worship praise. I said, but I don't sing and I don't dance. But I said, no. She's like, well, I saw you. And I said, well, that's what I do here at the church. And she says, and you look really good. And I said, oh, come on. I said, I've gained quite a bit of weight. She's like, no, but you even look better now than you did before. I'm like, really? And she said, yeah, your face. I'm like, my face? She goes, your hair even looks nice. And I said, you know what? I said, thanks a lot. I said, it's God. I said, God called me to do this. I said, and this is where I am today.
Amen. Stepping into growth. See, everybody here is a project. Everybody. God's project. I'm God's project. You're God's project. God's doing a work in each one of us. We are tailor-made. God made us. God made a plan for you. Time for you to start stepping into it. Title of today's message is Stepping Into Growth and Being Transformed in Your Life. And what Sandra's old hookup noticed was a transformation in her. And I'm hoping that people see a transformation in you. And if they don't, I'm hoping that by this time next year, people are going to say, what is up with you? Does that sound like something we can talk about today? Does that sound like something we can talk about today? Amen. All right. There are better things ahead. How many of you need some better things going on? It's like, yes. All right. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord. This is about halfway through what I read. You must no longer live as the Gentiles do. You must no longer live like Sandra lived. And I don't know what that little comment was over here, but I think Belshazzar maybe had a little bit of that living going on too. I know that I did, and maybe some of you did too. Paul is telling these people in the church of Ephesus, hey, you can't be doing that stuff anymore. Jesus Christ hung on a cross for you, bled on the cross for you, died on the cross for you, and you can't just be living like, so what? He says, you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance. Because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Paul says that the old stuff has got to go. You have messed up long enough. Sandra surely did, and she is on the road to health, the road to maturity. I know that I did. Got saved 20 years ago. Took me a year to detox. I had to learn how to live straight. Alcohol and drugs and all the stuff that went along with it. Man, I had to get rid of all that stuff. The old stuff has got to go. Can I get a witness on that from somebody, please? Now, you might be wanting that too. You might be thinking, wow, some people are talking about going to jail and doing drugs, and they look at me like, no way, not you. Well, I've come a long way. And you can come that way too. You say, how did it happen? God did a work on me. Sandra said, God did a work on me. He says, Ezekiel 36:26, see, God was doing a work on me. He was giving me a new heart. Said, I will give you a new heart. See, the old heart, the heart of stone, isn't going to work anymore. It's going to be bent toward what the Gentiles do. But, wow. But he says, you got to do new stuff. Hope this works. Could work. Doesn't work. I'll take a little break. For those of you who can't see, I just dropped my clicker. Ooh. Ugh. Just a second. I know you're all enthralled. This is, remember I talked about bind every distraction? Rock and roll. Look at that. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. He heals hands and he heals little clickers too. Praise the Lord. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. See, and that's how the Lord did that. He gave me a new spirit. So I wanted to do good stuff. I wanted to grab on to good stuff. He says, I will remove you from your heart of stone, remove from you your heart of stone, and I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. He said, how did you come so far? Well, the Lord did a miracle in me. Look at these words. Futility, darkness, and ignorance. That describes my life. Futile, dark, and ignorant. And the Lord gave me a new spirit, gave me a new way of thinking. I came to the Lord, I was pretty messed up. If I met my wife before I came to the Lord, she would not have given me the time of day. And you know what? You come to the Lord, I was not a pretty sight. Sanders Fred said she was not a pretty sight. You come to the Lord, pretty rough. The problem is we can want to make all nice. Put on nice clothes, nice new shirt my wife got for me, by the way. Yes, compliment me on it, I know. I don't get as many compliments when I buy the shirts. But we put on nice new shirts, and we put on, you know, get a new haircut and do all that kind of stuff, kind of looking pretty like we got no problems. You know what? See, we like the church to be pretty. Church full of unsaved people and people newly saved, church is not going to be pretty. Like Richard. Come on up here, I need your help. I was just joking. Come on over here. You look pretty. Yeah, come on up here, but I need your help. I want you to hold this. It's kind of out because it could be a little, yeah, like that. See now, this is the way we come to the Lord. No, I'm going to go nice. Okay. This is just, this is a pitcher. It's full of dirt and water. That makes mud, right? And this is what your old heart looks like when you come to the Lord. And Jesus says, I'll do a work on you. I want to do a transforming work. And guess what? That work is not pretty. Check it out. This is like the Lord. Now hold that out from you. Hopefully. Oh, Sandra left. That's good because we might get this on the floor. See, and as the Lord pours in his spirit in you, right, you begin to just kind of overflow and all this ugly stuff comes out. And what happens is the more of the ugly stuff that comes out, this is all kind of mixed up right now, the cleaner is what's left. Now, the problem is it's really an ugly process. Does that look ugly there, Richard?
Pretty much.
It looks pretty bad, doesn't it? See, and what, here, I'm going to set this in there. There you go. I just put that down there, would you? What happens is all this junk starts coming out of us, and we start feeling bad. A little round of applause for Richard, yes. All this ugly stuff starts coming out. Wait a minute, I'm ugly. I gotta jam all that stuff back in. You can't get clean until the bad stuff comes out. And when it comes out, it's going to look ugly, and it should be expected to look ugly. And we don't need to look pretty around here. Come the way you are. And the Lord will do a transformation in you. Amen? And as he pours in his spirit in you, that ugly stuff, that Gentile thinking, that futility, that darkness, that ignorance is just going to come flowing out of you. And you see it coming out. Well, I can't go to church with all this ignorance and futility and darkness on me. I gotta jam it all back in. And what happens is you never get clean. The church is not expected to be a pretty place. The church is, we like it to look pretty. And there's all kinds of churches put a big old show on for you, make everything look pretty. But I tell you what, when real people come into the church, I tell you, when I got saved, I was ugly. That's how come I'm so pretty now, because all my ugly just got washed away from the Lord. Amen. All right. That's why my wife likes me now. All right. You are equipped for impact. You're going to be beautiful, better things ahead, right? You're going to be pretty, and you're going to have impact. To each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. He has divvied up something for you. It is like a present. It's like you come, you get saved, and the Lord Jesus just comes up and says, Dave, here you go, big present. Bam! And you open it up and go, what do I got? He says, you have grace. You have a gift. He talks about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Now, to each one of us, the manifestation, the gift of the Spirit of God is given for the common good. I say, man, I don't know, manifestation, all this stuff, I'm getting a little confused here. Let me break it down for you. He continues on in chapter 12, says, what kind of gifts might you get? The message of wisdom. Whoa, where did that come from? I never knew that before. Lord gives you the message of wisdom, the message of knowledge, of understanding. He has the gift of faith to believe God for great and wonderful works. The gift of healing. Now, the gift of healing is different than the gift of being healed. But I'll take both ends. Amen? Amen? All right. So we got wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, and miraculous powers. It's the kind of stuff that goes on in the Bible. Gifts of the Spirit. Prophecy. Sometimes somebody at a break in the service will say, the Lord says, prophet among us. Discernment. It's like, whoa, watch out for that guy. Something going on there. Pastors get that. We need that. Speaking in tongues and interpretation of tongues. Goes on. Paul talks about in Romans chapter 12. Talks about the gift of teaching. The gift of encouraging. Coming alongside somebody who needs some encouragement. The gift of leading. The gift of giving. Guess what? If you got the gift of giving, you also get the gift of getting. Amen? Because if you're going to give, you got to get to be able to give. Lord will give you the opportunity. Lord has given you the gift to give, and he'll give you the gift of earning and the gift of serving. What's your gift? And I don't know what my gift is. How are you wired? I don't know. We got a test. I got a test. Everybody that comes a member of this church, we give them a test, spiritual gift test, so that you can understand how you're wired, so that we can understand how you're wired, so that we can find a place to plug you in. Now, Miss Gail, would you come up here? Aren't you glad you want to hear from Gail twice today? Yes. Now, Gail told me on Wednesday, right? And this was Tuesday that you met the lady? Oh, it was Wednesday. Just tell us the story.
It's bright up here.
It is. You got to stand in the light or you're in the shade. Don't stand in the shade. There you go.
Good spot so I can open my eyes. I have had a lot of downtime. I've had whooping cough, and I've spent a lot of time in the last 2 months doing nothing. And so I spent a lot of time praying and reading my Bible, and I've been very frustrated that a lot of the things that I used to do for the Lord I haven't been able to do. And so as I was going through my journal on Wednesday morning, this reminded me, you have the gift of helps. You can still do that. So I said, okay, Lord, you know, whatever you have for me today, help me to see what you have for me to do. So, you know,
Hey, that's a good prayer, folks. If you're wondering, pray that prayer. Something will come your way.
So I had some errands to do. I went to the store, and as I was coming home from the store, I saw this woman on the sidewalk, and she was having a terrible time. There was this little low picket fence. She was pretty tall, and she was leaning way over, just trying to keep her balance. Just, you know, she was like ready to fall over. And she happened to have a red curb the whole block she was on, so I couldn't just stop. But God just kind of spoke to my heart and said, you know what it's like to feel bad and like you need help. You need to help her. So I parked my car and walked to where she was, and I really couldn't tell exactly what was wrong with this woman. I wasn't sure if she did not speak English because she was very hard to understand. I was not sure if she was challenged in some way. I couldn't tell, but I felt safe, even though I, you know, was alone, and you know, you never know with a stranger. But I felt safe because I knew God had sent me there, and you know, so I was talking this way. I said, "I think you need to go home. I'll take you home." And she's like, "Albertsons." I'm like, "I don't think so." She's like, "There's something I have to get." I said, "All right." So I helped her get to a place where she could hold onto a cement pillar. And I said, "Wait here, I'll get my car." And so I went and got my car and put her in and drove her to Albertsons. And once I got her holding onto a shopping cart, she was doing a little better. She had fallen and scraped her arm, and she was very weak. She was in a lot of pain. And as we were driving, she said, "Surgery, tooth surgery." So I said, "You had two surgeries?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "How long ago?" She said, "1 week." I said, "Okay, I understand." So I got her into the store. I offered to help her, but she could not get her mind wrapped around what she needed to do. And so she said, "No, I have to look." I said, "Okay." She said, "I'll be real quick." I said, "I'm going to wait outside the door. I already had my groceries, my refrigerator stuff sitting in the sun, right?" I said, "I'll wait outside the door, wait at the car. You just do what you need to do." Well, about every 15 minutes, I'd check on her. And an hour later, she was finally ready. But while I was waiting, you know, you're kind of thinking, should I run my groceries home? You know, and God just said, "This is what I have for you today. So you just wait." And so I just waited, and an hour later she was finished and had 3 bags of groceries. And so I put her in the car, and as I was driving out of the lot, I said, "Does anybody live with you?" And she said, "No." She says, I'm all by myself." I said, "Do you have any family in San Diego?" And she said, "My mother's here, but she's not there for me." And I said, "Do you know Jesus?" And she's just like, "Jesus, I love Jesus." She says, "He's right here." I said, "Jesus loves you, and he sent me here to help you today."
Amen. Now, Gail has the gift of helps. I know one lady in San Diego who's real happy she's got that gift. Now, the gifts that we get, let me say it goes, yeah, me. The gifts are given for the common good. You got a gift for us. And when you don't flow in it, we get scammed. We get ripped off. We get shorted. And so we need you to be able to flow in your gift so that the church can be strong. You saw them kids up there talking to the teachers? Those teachers are flowing in their gifts and having great impact on their lives. You are wired for impact. You are created. You are here today to have an impact in this body in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Come on now. Amen. Everyone here has got a spot. There he's got his hand up. He's playing keyboard. That's what he does. Amen. All right, we're going to roll. Number two, all this is not just about you. See, so many of us think, "Hey, it's about me. I want to go to this church. I want to do this and this and this." It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. And assistance is provided. Look at this list. You got apostles. You got all prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. God called you to City Heights Assembly. He designed this place for you, and he designed you for this place, so everything fits. And it's not this church. It is the church. God calls people to a community. We depend on God, and we develop people, and you are part of that. Amen? All right, number two. There is a target. There is a target to prepare. To prepare God's people. If you're one of God's people, put your hand up. All right. Put it down. All right. Anybody here say, I am not God's person? See, I saw some of you didn't put your hand up. All right. So we have nobody who's not God's person. This is what he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to prepare you for. Works of service. And I know I just lost some of you. Whoa! I'll come on Sunday morning. Try not to preach too long. You know, I got a Padres game to go watch. Chargers played last night, right? I got football. I got other things going on. Now I'll show up on a Sunday morning. I'll put maybe a little bit of something in the plate. But work? This is the weekend. I don't know what you're talking about in this church. I've never been to a church like this before. I came here to be served. I came here to be entertained. Why don't you do another little mud thing for me? I kind of like that. Bring Gail back. We like her. Entertain me. You know what? There's a lot of churches that are like that today. You don't you worry about doing anything. We got arrows pointing everything. We got pretty bathrooms. We got somebody in the parking lot waiting to smile and shake your hand and just bring you on in. You just sit there, and we'll sing for you, and we'll do a little drama, and we'll have like a little movie thing. We'll need you to put something significant in the plate. But that's all we need from you is your money. Bible says that he gave some to the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers to prepare you to have impact in your community, in your home, and in this body of Christ. That's why he's healing Belteshazzar's hand and gave him a base a year ago. Right there, buddy. Time for you to get busy. Don't we need a bass player? So we got a keyboardist over here, Larry. He's playing bass on the keyboard. He can do other things. We need us a bass player. Praise the Lord. God's preparing each one of us. And there's so many churches. There's no opportunity. Talking about the Padres game today. Any of you guys watch the Padres game last night? Or yesterday, actually got beat. You know what? There was 42,000 people in the stands yesterday. And there's 18 guys on the field. That's not what church is supposed to be like. Church is supposed to be like a family, like Pastor Dave talked about earlier. Talked about being a family. You are called to help. You are called to work, and you are called to grow. When somebody comes along in a year, they're going to take a look at you and go, what happened to you? You are looking so good. Even your hair looks good. I hope they're saying that about me. It's hard to work and to grow when you're sitting on the sidelines. God knows that. That's why he called you to a position of service, a position of impact. God calls you to build this place up. And many of you are doing it. I love to see it working. All kinds of opportunities. Someone just jumping in. You know, I pick this stuff because of the pictures that I have. But it works and it fits. You know who I've been seeing doing some cool stuff lately? Esperanza. I don't know how long. This picture is from Father's Day, which was in June. And I don't know that Esperanza was coming that much longer before June. But so she'd been here like 2 or 3 months. And this lady, when she shows up, she's always doing something. Is that right, Natty? She is helping. She is doing. She said, where can I fit in? And she doesn't even say, ¿dónde está? You know, I don't even know how to say it. She says it in Spanish. And she's fighting a way to get that in. Why? Called to have an impact. She's helping all over the place. I asked Natty. She's helping. You know who else God's doing a thing in? Is Natty. Because Natty was where Esperanza is like 3 or 4 months ago. Because she was coming in. Oh, I don't know. I can't do much. But here, I can cook and I can do all that kind of stuff. And I'll fit in and I'll clean. What else you need me to do? And now Natty runs the kitchen. See, so you got Esperanza is kind of where Natty was like 3 or 4 months ago. And you know who used to run the kitchen? It's Sandra. Now, that picture, I think, has got to be close to 2 years old. Well, a year and a half old, maybe. Haven't seen her cooking for a long time. Because Sandra came in just like Esperanza. Where can I fit in? I can't do anything. No, no, no. It's like, hey, well, here, put you in the kitchen. We can help doing the feeding stuff, doing all that kind of stuff. Then Sandra became in charge of the kitchen. Now Sandra is in charge of all the food ministry. And she's also up here singing. What does God have for you? What is God calling you to do? Because he'll start you small. And he'll make you big. And he'll make you beautiful along the way. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
All right. You are part of the program. God moves us to maturity until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. Everybody say mature for me, please.
Mature.
Everybody say mature.
Mature.
Till we all become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. There is a target. There is a focus. There is a part for you to play, and God wants you to become mature. Now, we hear the word mature, and we think old. Very old? God. Now, Paul is not talking about old or very old. Paul is talking about strength. Joe comes in. He's lifting weights, getting strong. Look at these veins, man. These veins are popping out. He wants to be strong. He's talking about strength, and he's talking about development. He's talking about capacity. God wants you to have capacity in your life. Ephesians 1, 18 and 19. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, there is an inheritance for you. There is capacity for you. There is power for you if you would tie into it. And so many of us come from such small worlds, small lives, that we don't think we can find healing in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is capacity for healing. Amen? So he talks about capacity, and he talks about stability. Stability. So I came from a very unstable life. My choices gave me instability. Ephesians 4:14. We will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. We're talking about stability. Now, we all know what waves look like. Yeah, you know, waves. Being tossed about. Look, I can hang with that. I'm not worried about that. Well, those aren't the waves that the Lord is talking about. The Lord is talking about something a little bit stiffer. Well, I might be able to handle that. Well, how about that? See this guy? That guy is being tossed by that wave. Now, do you think he was going, I think I'm going to go jump in front of that big old giant wave and get tossed? I don't think so. And the waves that come at you, the challenges that come at your life, you are often not anticipating them. And because you are unstable, because of your lack of maturity, you are not able to handle them. He says, hey, we are going to grow. We are going to become mature so that we won't be tossed about. Now, look at this. Yeah, see the circle? Two little guys going, ah! They are not in a stable place. That is a massive wave. I have no clue how that wave comes to be like, how those guys come to be there. But those guys are getting ready to be tossed. How stable are you? See, some of us come to the Lord, and remember what Paul calls the life of instability? He calls it the life, the separated life, the darkened life, and the futile life. You know what I'm talking about, right? See, some of us come to the Lord, and we start thinking, oh, you know, the good old times. Maybe I'll just hang out for a minute. I just kind of, hey, Mike, is Mike around? Johnny, turn the fan off for me, would you? Make sure you don't turn the wrong one off. Got John, got barbecue smell coming all over the place. Again, the old life, barbecue, beers, and hey, maybe there's a little hookup for me. You know, I know what the Lord is saying and what he's got for me, but you know, I got this opportunity for this relationship. You know, I think the Lord will just kind of let me slide on this. And what happens is we start dallying in the darkness. And for a minute, ooh, it's dark. It's kind of fun. You know, I got to write a letter for a guy who used to come for this church. I'm actually writing a letter to a judge. And he's in South County detention. And he is waiting to determine, to find out what the rest of his life is going to look like. And that judge holds his future in his hands. See, sometimes darkness is kind of enticing, but it can be real tough to get out, and you don't want to mess with it. Amen? All right. Going to Ephesians 15 and 16. Instead, we're leaving all that other stuff. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head. That is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. That's what Pastor Dave was talking about. That's what Aaron was talking about. That's what Lisa's talking about. That's what Paul was talking about. And that's what I'm talking about today, is a position for you. God has you in mind. He wants you to become mature. He wants you to become stable. He wants you to have capacity. He doesn't want you to be tossed about. And he calls you into this body. And you are part of it. You are supposed to have a meaningful part. We come together and we help one another. We are created to help one another. And so often things get off track. Why is that? Because instead of helping one another, we get our eyes on us. We say, you know what, I need some stuff. We're created to do so good. What's the problem? Problem is having the wrong boss. Came to the Lord, I had the wrong boss. He was my boss. All about me. My life was in the toilet. Easy to get off track. Hey? Maybe you know what I'm talking about. I came to the Lord Jesus 20 years ago, and he became my boss. And my life was transformed. I was so excited to know the Lord. I came to the church and I wanted to be involved. I stacked chairs. I served food. I cleaned toilets. I did anything there was. I teach classes. I dressed like a clown. Whatever it took, I wanted to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was running after the Lord and finding him and knowing him. And all along the way, I was finding capacity in my life, stability of my life, and I was stepping into growth. You see it in Sandra. See it in Natty. People see it in you. Living a life worthy of the calling of Christ. Is that you? Has the Lord called you into that? Many of you are stepping into growth. Many of you are going, what choices do I have to make to fill up this spot to live a life worthy of the call of Christ? How can I be transformed? You know, I still stack chairs. I still clean toilets. I haven't dressed like a clown in a long time. Many of you are thinking, what can I do? You're just like Joe. Can I do it? Can I do it? Some of you, the Lord is speaking. I've been praying that the Lord is speak to hearts today. I don't know where you're at, but the Lord does. And I believe that he has been speaking to your heart today and over the last weeks. And to some of you, he is saying, I don't know who you are. You don't know me. And we have no relationship. And you are in danger of going to hell. You have not received, you have not entered into that deal. And the Lord is saying, you need to know me as your Savior today. For many of you, you are being called to something bigger. You are called to step into a greater position with the Lord, and you know the Lord as your Savior, and you've been kind of watching on the sidelines, and the Lord today is saying, you know, I got something for you. I'm going to use you in a mighty way. Some of you have been being used, and the Lord's saying, I'm not done with you yet. I got a bass for you to play. He's saying, I got something more for you today. I want you to have a greater impact. I've been getting ready for this next step. And for some of you, the Lord is saying, what has happened? We were so good. We were right on track. And you made some choices. It's been a little while. And you've just been sitting on the sidelines doing nothing. And it shows. You're not as pretty as you used to be. Some of that old stuff is coming back. And he's saying, I'm not done with you yet. There's an opportunity for you. I'll make a change. Lisa, would you come up and sing for us a song?